It's time for Blindly Obvious.
Hello and welcome to Blindly Obvious. I'm Tyler, as always, with my co-host Jeff. And today we are on the topic of conversation, has the Holy Spirit left us or have we left it? Jeff?
You woke up this morning, what happened?
I was feeling real philosopher.
Yeah?
No, I'm just kidding. I was getting ready to get in the shower, and I have this Bible in a Year podcast I listen to.
Okay.
I feel like sometimes I got to work on this aspect of this. I almost zone out of the podcast a little bit. Each one's probably like 20 to 30 minutes long, and I almost kind of zone out. And then I come back in at the end. He does this kind of like walkthrough, basically about just like what he read, and covers it and kind of talks a little more in depth about it.
Okay.
I feel like I've really had to kind of get more honed in on the paying full attention, because there's so much there. I feel like if you're not paying full attention, you're not going to catch it all.
Oh, sure. Right? It can be overwhelming, because not every...
It is, and it's hard. It's just difficult to really take in anyway.
Because not all things are like a story. Like, if it's a story about something, you know, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, and their story...
That's actually what we're on right now.
Oh, is it really? The stories are interesting, but when it gets into the nitty-gritty of a different culture and what they're trying to do, and they're, you know, that they're taken by some foreign nation, it's like, okay, I understand what's happening here, but you don't want to say you don't care, but it's like, this isn't touching my day. You
know, right. What
I mean? Like, it's like, I got my own stuff going on. I got a list of stuff that I got to do. And your mind tries to diversify its resources.
Sure. I mean, you only got so much time, right? So, right. I mean, you got to cut the pie in slices. So I get done with that, and I'm just kind of in a spiritual mindset, I guess. And I was thinking about our nation, we as a people, which was really funny when you walked in and I asked you this question. You go, all right, so do you mean like this or like this? And I'm like, exactly.
So the question is, will God ever leave, right? That's
Or have we left him?
Okay, now that's a great, yeah. How do you phrase this? I'll say it this way. I sent you a video from Cincinnati this morning, and it was three separate situations that may or may not be related, where thieves tried to ram their vehicles into some stores that have these pew-pew things where they were trying to get them to do very kind things at Christmas. Let's just say, right? I'm being ridiculous here. But what you're seeing is... a boldness, an escalation. And is it gang related? Is it some of these gangs coming over our border? Who knows, man? Because no one was caught.
Well, and I think you could probably throw out there the complacency and the unwillingness to really crack down is just allowing the problem to probably fester and bloom to begin with, right?
Yeah, well, we have for a long time lived in a polite society. And what we're finding is the people who are coming over don't share our desire to maintain a polite society. They don't care.
And I think Pastor Rick yesterday, who gave the message at church, gave a wonderful take on this yesterday when he talked about either being at a church or somebody that he knew from a church, a fellow pastor, having an issue that they were dealing with within their church. And rather than actually dealing with the issue, they didn't want to ruffle the feathers or maybe cause people to leave. Maybe it was going to hurt them financially, whatever the reason may be. They were unwilling to deal with the problem.
Right.
And allowed it to grow larger as a result.
Yeah, and I think to some degree we all kind of deal with this. We're not sure that this problem is worth the trouble.
Sure.
That maybe
is this the hill I want to metaphorically die on?
And so once you're overwhelmed with a lot of problems, especially when there could be repercussions, you're trying to be a weasel about things. You do it with your kids all the time.
You know, is exactly you.
What do you mean?
This is how you would always deal with a problem. No, actually, you're like you are the polar opposite of that.
Yeah, I come in with an axe and let's cut it down.
You don't mind ruffling the feathers and being put where you need to be.
Yeah, and I don't mind falling on my sword to do it. Like, I will. One of the things Melanie had told me early on is, Jeff, you don't have to die on every hill.
Yeah, I kind of I felt that way about you too.
Yeah.
So I get it. But you always, though, to your credit, I got to say this. I have felt that way, but when you go into these situations and you like, you're just, man, here's what I got to do. It's what I got to do. You seem to come out the other side.
Yeah. I survived.
And
somehow.
Unscathed. Yeah. So, I mean.
And not just survive. I'm still laughing.
I can't say that your methodology on I'm going where God needs me to be has let you down this far by any means.
Never. God has never let me down. I'll say this. Now, where I do pick and choose, is this a Jeff preference or God commandment? Where God has said, where God has spoken, it is not negotiable for me.
And how would you, I think a good maybe thing that we don't often really think about or consider per se is, what is your ideal difference of knowing God spoke that to you versus this is a Jeff preference?
Okay, that's fair. So, and it's much broader than that. Where I look at it is whether it's my own family tradition or thought or culture, or in that there's sex. Okay. So we'll go into like, church, each church has their own traditions based upon their heritage. Right.
Yeah.
And so I kind of look at it that whole way. It's like there's culture and there's traditions that are ultimately man-made. And then there are timeless things that God has already spoken. Now, I'm not saying that God spoke this and said, Jeff, you will. It's right in the Word of God, in His Bible, it says right here, and it tells you very clearly in Hebrews that in the past, God spoke through prophets and angels, and
sure.
And now in these last days, He spoke through His Son. Jesus is the Word of God, and where Jesus has spoken and reiterated what was already written in the Old Testament, remember that not everyone had a Bible back in the day like we do today.
Sure.
If you wanted to read the Bible, you had to go to the temple to have it read.
Many people weren't honestly able even to read anyways, were they?
I don't know about that, but Jewish boys and girls memorized. I know for certain the boys did. I would think the girls might try, but each boy was hoping to one day be a teacher of the law, but they all memorized the first five books of the Old Testament, memorized it.
And now... they still continue that today.
I think so.
As lawyers.
Yeah. So the Pentateuch, right, the law. So where God has spoken in His word, Jesus reiterated all those teachings. There's not one teaching in the Bible that Jesus says, well, you know, forget about that one. If anything, He added to it. He said, you know, you heard it said, or you it is written, you should not commit adultery. And He says, I tell you the truth, and goes beyond that and says, if you even look at a woman lustfully, you've committed adultery.
So that He almost takes it, right, takes it beyond the point of base level of, obviously we would all consider adultery, having intimacy with another person, right, outside of your spouse. He's kind of telling you lustful thoughts, lustful desires, all kind of go in the same category.
You know how I look at it? It's kind of like, to put it in simple terms, you tell one of your kids, hey, go take the trash can to the curb. The garbage man's coming. Your kid's like, fine. And so in their mind, they want to play their video games. They want to do whatever. And in their mind, they're like, what's the fastest way for me to satisfy what my dad has told me to do with the least amount of work? And so what your kid does, they don't walk around the house getting all the trash out of the trash cans. And she just goes and grabs the trash can, walks it halfway down the driveway. So they took it out from the house, but not where it's supposed to go, to the curb. Garbage man never comes and picks it up. Your house is still full of trash. And when you say to one of your kids, hey, did you take the trash out? And they go, well, yeah. We're almost doing the same thing. We've been playing this game with God. God said this, and we're trying to squeak by and find out what's the least amount that I can do to satisfy what God told me to do. And Jesus is saying, no, 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 no. You're missing the whole point. And He took it and added to it. Listen, I don't want you to, when you take the trash out, get all the trash, go to every bedroom, every bathroom, pull the trash out, take it all the way to the curb, get it out of here.
But ultimately too, it makes, when you just apply the idea behind it, it makes sense for that. If you look at things as thoughts eventually become actions,
absolutely,
right?
Absolutely, yeah, yeah.
So if you're having the thoughts and you don't put them away or put them, you know, where they belong, you then potentially have a much greater chance of leading to action.
Well, everything that He told you not to do is to your benefit. Now, we don't see it that way.
Well, that's what I always try to, I mean, obviously some of the Ten Commandments are pretty obvious, right?
Right,
like,
right.
You wouldn't kill somebody. Okay, that makes pretty good sense.
Well, why wouldn't I want to do that? I don't like that guy.
Yeah, well, I mean, though, we do say that, but then yeah. you you think about, there is a movement right now that wants to kill babies up to the 9th month while telling people, once again, the kindness in society, we only want to have this for just very rare instances where maybe the mom is in, you know, grave danger, or there's been a case of the sexual assault. Now we're talking about killing children in the 9th month. And in some cases, I've heard discussions of some states wanting to pass laws up to 2 years old.
Right. Yeah.
You can't tell me that is for rare and, you know, out of hand circumstances, or at the same time, then you're going to try to kill up to a 2-year-old child.
What you're really saying is it what they're telling us in one breath completely contradicts the actions they're taking the next. For example,
absolutely,
we care so much about you, you have to wear a seatbelt, and you better make sure you have that child in the car seat the certain way, or else we're going to take your child away and yep. fine you and put
all
you in
they
prison.
Are protocols of obedience that you will submit right. to man, in essence, mm-hmm. over God.
Right.
And then, because well, that, you that listen same, to these laws, you listen to these laws, you listen to these laws.
That same organization, the next, will say, well, for the sake of society and for your convenience, we're going to take that child's life.
Right.
It's like, which and is it?
You'd probably want to do that because it'd be a burden on you.
Right. You don't want, so. Have you seen what children cost today?
But then even to have your national convention and offer this outside for free to people who attend the convention, and a mobile clinic, mm-hmm. how could you then say that you are anything more than a death cult?
Well, it's on that same, okay, so to get back to your we're in the weeds. Your initial question is, we're playing the same games, we're playing the very same games with God and what he has said. God says, this is wrong, and it's wrong. As a pastor, if I'm in a church that does not give a rip about what God has said and they're going to run me out, then I don't want to serve there anyway.
Sure.
Does that make sense?
I think it makes complete sense from that. If we live in a society based upon, well, I only do what I say is wrong,
right.
and what I say is right, your right and my right may be two entirely different things.
Well, clearly, yeah.
So to have a morally sound basis of principles to live upon, like the Bible, I just don't understand how anyone would argue that it makes sense for a proper and just society.
You only argue when you want to be the arbiter of what is deemed right and wrong, because you won't acknowledge God.
Sure.
And that's, again, that's part of our problem today, is that we live in a society that is no longer, hello, a Christian nation, one that submits to the authority of God. We just don't, to Christ. We don't care.
So now, do you think, that being said, to refer back to my question, do you think his spirit has left our nation?
Ooh.
Or do you think we've left his spirit?
Okay.
Or do you think his spirit still resides in some ways?
Okay. This is a very broad question, and this is going to be a Picasso of many brushes.
Man, you can't paint.
What a horrible place to stop, but we need to. Tune back in next week as we try and answer this very difficult question. But in the meantime, I want you to think about this. How would you answer that question? And what would you use as the qualifier for the answer that you give?
As always, this has been Blindly Obvious. If we can see it, you can see it too. You can visit our website at www.blindlyobvious.com, where you can catch up on past episodes, as well as learn a little bit about us. We are so happy that you're here, and hope these are just the conversations you've been looking for. Peace, love, and God bless. If you like what you've heard, please subscribe and share the word. Remember, the eyes mean nothing if the mind is blind.
It's Blindly Obvious, baby.